This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to Hearthside Chats, everybody.
Hearthside Chat. Wait, this is going in the main feed. We can't be doing the short rest sound.
Well, it's right. A Hearthside Chat. We're getting cozy. We're getting cozy. Dangerously close to the fire.
I'm wearing some thick cotton socks, and I'm putting them just oh so close.
Ooh, you're burning up a little bit. You're sizzling.
Oh, and they're fast fashion, so they catch on fire real quick.
Oh, yeah. They're half nylon.
You shouldn't remove the fireplace screen. Come on, bud.
Oh, it's fusing. It's fusing with my toes.
So we gathered some questions from our Patreon, and we're going to answer them with a little twist, with a little Hogliday twist. Ooh. Happy Hogliday's, everybody.
Happy Hogliday's.
So we got questions about the campaign, about kind of NADPOD this year, campaign three.
Yep. Snooze, boring.
Who fucking likes that
it's
bullshit?
It's wonderful, it's great, but it's not the Hogliday spirit we happen to be in this current moment.
Yeah,
we
can't shit on them too much because we will have to answer some of them.
And we do run a D&D show.
And we did ask for that.
Yes. And they are good questions.
Yeah. We're just overcome with the Hogliday spirit.
So we also got Hogliday questions.
Right. Yeah.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to roll. And on a 1 through a 10, we answer something about the campaign. Uh-huh. And on 11 through 20, we answer a Hogliday question.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the thing about the Hogliday's, you never know when it's coming.
Right.
And specifically, we're using a dice given to us by Andrew T. and Savannah that they made just for Murph. Whoa. Which is inspired by Mountain Dew and Monster Energy Drink.
Very
it's
much.
Like a nuclear green dice.
That's absolutely sick. One of the key ingredients in a Hogliday Nog is Mountain Dew.
And with that, why don't I go ahead and roll this electric
egg.
Green dice.
So gross.
All right, let's see what I get.
Yeah.
That's it's a Hogliday.
Happy Hogliday's, everybody.
Happy Hogliday's right
happy
off the bat.
Happy Hogliday's.
Get into that Hogliday spirit.
Happy Hogliday's.
So this one is for everybody, but I'll direct it first to Little Drummer Bri.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
Jeffrey writes, best Christmas present you've ever gotten. We'll send it around the table.
Oh. I remember being super pumped about the Sega Genesis when I got it late. I didn't have the first one. There was like a first one that had a little switch on it that like clicked over. So I didn't have first one.
Mm-hmm.
But my friend had it. So I was super obsessed with it. And I finally got a Sega, I think my Christmas when I was in second grade.
Okay.
And I remember like, I wanted it so bad.
Did you ask for it? Did you write a letter to Santa?
I don't think I wrote a letter to Santa. I was a little bit religious. So I just kind of prayed to Santa. I thought Santa could like read my thoughts.
I think, we all thought that Santa was like in like the pantheon.
If Santa's magic, why do you need to write to him?
He's a saint.
Yeah.
Saint Nicholas.
Exactly. No,
See, I grew up half Jewish. And we had to circle what we wanted for Christmas in the catalog. Santa really needed to be told exactly.
You also grew up with so many siblings. So that's just parents who are like, we don't have time. Uh-huh.
Christmas morning was so exciting because the sheer volume of presents was just really huge.
Any of those could be yours.
But then like when it was all said and done and you had your tiny little pile, you always felt underwhelmed. Like, how were there 100 presents and only 10 for me?
Did your parents ever like pad the tree? Because like I've started doing that for our family now, where like I just like the look of a full tree with a
so you just put empty boxes in there?
Not empty boxes, but like if I'm getting like a gift for myself, or like say that we're like buying a new cast iron pan or something
you'll throw that shit under the tree.
I'll do that if I get like two shirts for Emily from the same place. I'll like crack it open and separate the shirts so presents under the tree. Nice.
You got to get the spread.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that is nice. Okay.
Yeah, what are your guys' favorite presents?
I have a very specific memory, mainly because my family razzed me about it for like years afterwards. And like, if you brought it up to this day, they would. It was when we first got like a Dell PC, I think.
Yes. Hell
and
yeah.
I remember specifically it had a Pentium 2 processor chip. Mm. And I was like, I guess like 8 or 9, and I remember like jumping up and down and being like, oh my god, it's got a Pentium 2 processor.
Your dad just punched you in the gut.
No son of mine.
And then like every year afterwards, like my whole family would be like, it's got a Pentium 2 processor.
That's a great joke.
It's really
I'm going
really
to bring it up the next time we see your family.
You
it's
actually
got a Pentium processor.
They're kind of right, man. Yeah. You're a fucking nerd.
I know they're right, okay?
Yeah. My best Christmas present was the Chet Atkins signature Dave Matthews guitar that I got junior year of high school.
Wow. Wait.
Yeah. Try making fun of that, assholes.
who's defensive?
Who's Chet Atkins?
I think it was another guitarist that, and Dave Matthews played a Chet Atkins Gibson guitar.
So like a legendary partnership.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got it. So it had nothing to do with Dave, except Dave liked that
this
guitar.
This was Dave's
as well.
Guitar, yeah.
It was Dave's guitar, but it's Chet's guitar.
Right,
really.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah. You love Dave so much that was your favorite present. You didn't, yeah. You didn't get like a bike when you were in third grade or something.
I got an N64. I got a bike.
That's great.
One Christmas, my dad gave me a pocket knife that his grandfather had handed down to him.
Yeah, but you can't play fucking Jimmy thing on a bike, can you?
I don't know what that is.
It's a Dave Matthews song.
Yeah, I know.
Like, this is interesting, but it's no Dancing Nancy.
And what was your favorite Dave Matthews gift?
I didn't get any Dave Matthews gifts. My sister was the Dave Matthews.
What was your favorite gift though?
I remember my worst gift.
Okay.
That's great. That's actually another.
Was it you looked at me? Was it from me?
No, it's from a long time
ago. Okay, good.
By the way, that's another question.
Oh.
So yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
My mom's dad gave me like a a shirt, a Hard Rock Cafe shirt to somewhere he went.
Very
I so just like Hard there. Rock Atlanta.
Daytona Beach, like, Hard Rock Heaven. Okay. I was like,
it's pretty sick.
Okay.
I'm a 9-year-old from Albany.
it was literally maybe even younger than that.
You can wear this to school and your friends will think you went to Minneapolis.
Could you imagine being in Daytona Beach?
I remember just being like, how am I supposed to feel about this?
Wait, did anyone else have like a weird like Hard Rock Cafe cred thing at their school where like people would wear like a Hard Rock Cafe shirt and be like, holy shit, you went to the Hard Rock Cafe?
Really? No, okay, no. So maybe that was just going on because he was from the South. So maybe that was going on.
You're from fucking Nashville. There's so many great music venues there and everything.
Yeah, and there's also Hard Rock Cafe.
I have no way of knowing this, but I bet the Hard Rock Cafe was invented in Nashville. It just seems like it was.
Yeah, I buy that.
Yeah.
I can't say definitively.
I'm not going to look it up.
Yeah. Right. Well, you don't need to.
Yeah. We're right. Yeah.
I think the cred angle was more that like there's a Hard Rock Cafe in like any major city. So
yeah,
it'd be like
it shows that you've been there.
Yeah, I've traveled is what
Did
it says.
Rainforest Cafe ever encroach upon that?
I think Rainforest Cafe was like coming up. They were like the hot young contender.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Rainforest Cafes, they were never loose on the street. Weren't they always in the mall?
I guess
you can get a loose Rainforest Cafe.
I've never seen one.
Yeah, there's a loose one. There's one that's straight up a freaking volcano. Disney Springs and Disney World.
Okay, that's as loose as it gets.
Yeah,
it's very loose. Yeah,
and there's one in Death Valley, and that's the only building there.
Really,
it's just like the Rainforest Cafe.
Super loose.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's very loose.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's interesting.
They did missile testing nearby.
All right,
in the kitchen.
Yeah. And with that, I think it's time to move on. Does anyone want to roll if we get off the day here at Campaign 3? Okay.
I got rolled a 3 for Campaign 3.
That is cool. Okay, so first question. Actually, since Emily rolled it, why don't we direct it at Emily? Ask Word. Words.
Jesus Lord.
Jink. They're just all piercing arrows right into my heart. I love it.
I hope that everyone at home is currently standing to give you a standing ovation.
Yeah, even if you're driving.
If you're driving, give Jake a standing ovation.
Yeah.
What is a question but an asking of words? Yeah. Really?
I distilled it down to its base components. All right, Lexi H. asks, question for Emily. Any tips on managing stocked spells for characters like druids when sessions span several in-game days? I'm a new player, and I play with a lot of non-casters and often find myself struggling to keep my list ready.
Yeah, I mean, really, I like having having your cards is really helpful. I have been using for, like, current Campaign 3, I basically use D&D Beyond because I realized I was missing a character sheet. Like, I missed the tactile experience, so I have, like, a written-out character sheet that I refer to for like skills and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm digital for spells.
For spells is great.
It's kind of the easiest version. Like as much as it feels very romantic to hold the little cards, I think it's ended up being, especially with like a druid where you have so many spells, it's kind of the most practical.
Right. So go diddle.
Yeah.
And go digital.
Go diddle.
Go diddle.
It's the Hogladays. Go diddle.
Sometimes when I misspeak, I know that it will be edited out. But if everyone makes fun of me, I know that it's staying in. Damn. And I was really hoping that would not get
that
a reaction.
Yeah.
It had breathing room on either side.
You smiled and you looked down is the problem.
I actually wasn't going to clock it. I clocked your reaction to it when and then did a replay.
When I mess up, I just look mad and I hold my hands up to be like, everyone stop speaking so we can cut this.
I think if I did that, you guys would fucking tease even harder.
You have to establish it. You have to be really mean for a long time to get that kind of respect.
To hold out your hands and be like, "Don't make fun of me." That's inviting the wolves.
No, it's not about don't make fun of me. It's like I'm trying to read the recap here, and I have to edit this later. Please don't make this harder for me.
Oh man!
Obviously, I mean, yeah, you guys make fun of me. Why do you make fun of me? God, edit this out.
Edit this out. Man.
Edit it out.
Diddling is what we say when you misspeak now, right?
Yeah,
that's just officially what it is. Cool.
I made a diddle.
Can you cut out that diddle I made earlier?
I refuse to live in this reality.
I demand to live this down.
To live this down immediately. Okay, Caldwell, you want to give this thing a roll?
Ooh, absolutely, yeah. Come on.
Give her a whirl.
18.
Nice.
Yeah, we're back to
Take me to the hog.
Love it. So why don't
Happy
we direct this one to...
Happy Hogladays.
All I want for Christmas is Hugh. Oh!
More standing ovations, please.
Ask some words.
Reading Under Pressure writes, what would be the best Christmas movie to be trapped in?
Ooh, the best Christmas movie to be trapped in. This one can be open to the floor, obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But you just got great names for him, so what's his name?
So you can start it and then
I guess
from there.
Best Christmas movie. I just feel like, you know, like Muppet's Christmas Carol, that's just like a good reality to live in.
Oh, that's a fair. Really good comment.
I guess it is Victorian England, so that's not...
That's trouble.
but
you show up, it's just like, everything sucks, but there's Muppets. Whoa. There's sad-ass Muppets in that movie.
People dump really their shit in the street.
Are you sick? We're going to drain your blood. But look how funny the doctor
is. Is the only other human?
Michael Caine is a human. I think there's some other humans.
I don't know that there are.
Is it just
no,
Michael
he does.
Caine?
He has like a nephew.
He's got like
right?
a nephew.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, as I'm dying of consumption, if I see that little shrimp, if I see that little shrimp hanging out with Gonzo.
Are you talking about Michael Caine?
Don't call him a shrimp, dude.
I'm just calling him out. He's knighted, I'm pretty sure.
Freaking work out, Sir Caine. Absolutely try and get shredded. What's wrong with you?
I know what you mean. I know the little shrimp.
Pepe, I think is the shrimp's name. Yeah. That little shrimp would like put it just really, I could believe in God in a Muppet world.
Wow. That's good.
That's a good one. It does. It has some like horrifying implications of like, you certainly. Are just in Victorian England with a bunch of Muppets. You're just like, oh my God, how do I find companionship?
Yeah.
Everyone's a Muppet.
Uh-huh.
I plan on watching Die Hard this year for the first time.
Okay,
and
Die Hard would be bad. Just so our world, but there's just an extra terrorist attack.
So I was thinking maybe that would be interesting.
And like only one action hero can solve anything.
Yeah, but like Bruce Willis would probably be like more, I would have a better chance of meeting him in the Die Hard world.
Right.
Because he wouldn't be so famous.
There, yeah.
Right. Like, I could probably meet him.
Yeah.
That's super interesting.
There's a better answer, which is Christmas Eve on Sesame Street, which is one of my favorite holiday films.
So there's a lot of Muppets in your fantasy. Yeah.
There's your theme, man. And it's actually
Can you imagine being friends with a Muppet?
Like in real life? Have to be Christmas.
How good would that be? If like you just like walk down the street and then just like a fuzzy little guy pops out the window and says, "Hey Caldwell, how's it going?"
I think the Muppets are funny, but I don't want to be friends with them.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'd like to watch them and then it's over.
It is true. On Sesame Street, all the humans are kind of put upon. They're like having to deal with Elmo's shit a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, you don't want to hang out with Elmo.
No.
I could have a beer with Statler and Waldorf.
Absolutely.
You guys, we can't get super derailed. This is too much Muppets. We talked about this a lot recently. I like the Muppets, but we do need to
we have to cool
we have to move on.
We've got to pump the brakes.
We can't
can't redo Short Rest and talk about Muppets for 20 minutes again.
Hit our quota, I understand.
I'm having a hard time thinking of Christmas
movies. I got one. It's Home Alone. Home Alone for me.
Also that, like, bad implications.
No, that one, the worst fucking crime is the sticky bandits just like rob people's houses.
Yeah, fine.
Everybody lives in a fucking mansion in Chicago.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
Going on vacations.
And mom and dad are fucking gone.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's
so
sick.
So in this, you are Macaulay Culkin?
Absolutely.
You're very clever. You're very clever.
You're a clever little boy.
I'm home alone and I'm watching movies, eating ice cream, eating pizza, making mac and cheese.
Uh-huh. Oh, but there's a very scary furnace in the basement, Jake. Did you consider that?
I feel like just since I'm older now, I could probably
handle the furnace. Yeah,
I would be fine.
You could also just live this movie. You can just stay in your home by yourself. Yeah.
My fantasy is to be alone on Christmas.
You have to be like, hey, mom, I'm trying to live out something here. Can you call me and act worried about me?
You get some dudes to break in, and they're kind of menacing, but they're also pretty funny.
I think you can do this thing. I want to move to the suburbs.
Jake, I think you could pull this off. I think that, like, when you and Jill and Tucker are going to Florida for your Christmas vacation,
annually,
you just get like a body double to pretend to be you.
Interesting. I bet they wouldn't notice.
By the time
they also got a body double to try and trick you out of going.
Wow, they look different.
By the time they get to the airport, you're scot-free. Whoa. And then you can terrorize a pizza delivery guy.
Yeah, I want to be mean to delivery people.
Yeah.
And I want to shoot a BB gun in my house.
What about just Nightmare Before Christmas?
I was going to say
that's just a cool world.
That's also a workaround, because then you could live in Halloween Town, but it's still technically a Christmas Halloween movie.
And also think about all the other holiday towns that you could go to.
Yeah. You just hop in a tree. Right. Yeah. A freaking Easter world.
Yeah.
Easter world.
St. Patrick's Dayland.
Yeah. There's a reason they only went in the one door.
Yeah. What would everyone's Halloween town sona be? Like, would you be like one of the little like creepy kids with a mask?
What kind of weird little guy.
Would you be an Oogie Boogie?
I've actually never seen this movie.
What?
Whoa. Yeah, I never saw a Nightmare.
I watched Die Hard. You watched Nightmare Before Christmas. Let's rendezvous.
All right, cool. Yeah. Meet up in the new year. See you in 2023. We'll be changed people.
You're a Skelly head, and I've shaved my actual head to look like Bruce Willis.
Yeah, stitches in my fucking face.
Emily hurt her feet for some reason.
Yeah, I would say I'd have to be the Pumpkin King. What I would do is I would lock the door behind Jack and steal his identity.
Interesting.
When he goes to the Christmas world, I would just lock the door and say, now I am the Pumpkin King.
So, okay, so you would be like a con man.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
A con Skelly head.
That's great. I would just be your dog.
You'd be Zero the ghost dog.
I think I would be like a pile of bones that sometimes like animated to be a person
and would play your bones like a xylophone or something.
Yeah, I would basically be like, have you guys ever been to an ossuary, which is like a bone cathedral made of bones from people who died in the plague?
Nope.
I think I would be like essentially like a moving pile of bones that could take on different shapes.
I keep trying to go, but it's just always booked.
The ossuary?
Yeah. It's just really popular this time of year.
Yeah.
Let's roll for the next one.
It's an 11, baby. Still on the holidays.
Still on the holidays. Wow, it's like we're on the Polar Express. Isn't that a Christmas movie?
Yeah, and Sonic's here. Tom Hanks is playing Sonic.
I actually haven't seen the Polar Express, but that seems like that would be a fine one to be in. You're just on like a train.
Yeah, you're on a train.
Yeah. But doesn't it go really fast, though?
Does the train go fast?
I think so. It's got to get all the way to the North Pole.
That seems fine.
Yeah, that seems okay.
Honestly, it sounds just really lovely.
It's a train for children. It's fast, but probably safe. But they're probably bullet train.
I wouldn't want to be on there with all those kids.
Yeah.
They will be.
Yeah, you'd rather be home alone. I'm telling you.
Nice. I'm home alone anytime Em goes out of town.
It's not bad.
You guys are missing out being covered in coal with all the other Muppets as we work our shift.
Okay, this question is for Hark the Herald Axford Sing.
This is my gift. This is my gift.
Actually, it's a pretty interesting question. Chris asks, holiday-themed question.
Okay.
If you could, would you hook up with Santa or his wife? And I don't think that's like an either or. Okay. It's just like, are either of them interesting to you?
I would say that Mrs. Claus is more interesting to me than Santa Claus. He's kind of like really straightforward.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't know enough about her. She's mysterious, yeah, right?
That's yeah. true. That's true. I would cuck Santa.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know when to do it.
Right? There's definitely 24 there's hours time, where he's yeah. not home. And the rest of the time, he's probably busy in his shop.
Yeah.
But that's not the enemy you want. Santa Claus?
Oh, that's right. true.
He knows where you live.
Well, yes,
he knows well, when you're awake.
Yeah, yeah, he knows if you've listen, been bad or good.
He definitely knows. Santa knows if you fucked his wife.
Yeah, he does.
It all
know
sounds
everything.
Like the tags to yeah. cooking Claus.
Yeah. I think anything that happens in the Claus household, mm-hmm. I think everyone in the Claus family knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think you got to do, I think it's got to be Santa.
Consensual. He's got to be looped in.
Claus, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
There's something like hot though about the like the woman behind the great man that everyone talks about that no one knows about, right?
Mm. And she's like secretly not satisfied.
She's like either secretly or she's like secretly the fucking mastermind of the whole thing.
Right.
I think you would have to like make it a long con situation where like you are one of the elves.
Uh-huh.
And you're just like talking to Miss Claus a lot, being yeah. like, hey, I need you to sign these forms, you know.
Whoa.
Like,
so sexy.
That's how you come on to anybody.
Hey, I've got some forms.
I have forms for you to sign.
But you like you go into her office and you like sit up on her desk a little bit as you say it. Yeah. yeah.
And you're like, yeah. you can use whatever kind of pen you want, even red.
So
spill her coffee.
Yeah, no.
Oh.
I guess this isn't a load bearing desk. Yeah, I see I broke it a little bit.
Shit, I have to go get some new forms.
Can anyone make a case for like the attractiveness of Santa Claus?
He's a big, powerful man, certainly.
Powerful man, okay.
Yeah, he's in charge, which
he's
is
in
hot.
Charge.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. And he does it with a smile.
He has a cool car.
Cool confidence, cool
yeah,
car.
He's nice to animals.
Nice
sort
to animals.
Of. Well, I don't know. Does having a bunch of reindeer like in your
everywhere?
Service?
He's got a lot of vacation days.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like,
and he's giving.
Uh-huh. Right? Giving. Selfless.
Okay.
And sometimes he wears a Hawaiian shirt and drinks Coca-Cola.
The outfit? Is that like loud, festive?
Uh-huh. Yeah. He's like very proud of his look. He's like not ashamed to like be mm-hmm. bold.
Yeah. Like okay. living in the North Pole, you would think that he'd be wearing like animal furs
yeah.
that are like dark and stuff and woolen. But he's just wearing like a silly red suit.
And I feel like normally a beard that long is like really gross, but like he's clearly putting a lot of attention into it.
I feel like he has a big
okay.
dick.
Yeah. I think he does yeah. seem like yeah.
Here's another problem with Santa. Uh-huh. If it goes bad, he knows everything.
Yeah. yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could see him being clingy.
But if he knows everything, giving, he knows like, what you want, right?
Right. But what if you hook up, it goes so well, and then he comes over on December 29th, too. It's like, hey, it's Christmas again.
And you're like,
and you're like, whoa, all right.
It's yeah. time to move yeah. on like, to the next like season.
Once
yeah.
a year is
yeah.
right. And then he yeah. just keeps on showing
Santa
up.
Santa could be clingy. That's something we all need to consider.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So it seems like everybody is kind of a maybe.
Yeah. So we're, uh-huh. we'll maybe fuck Santa. We'll see.
Hard right. to ghost.
Yeah. I'm
literally, we've had one question about the
yeah, I'm going to roll. I know I'm going to get a holiday question. 90% of the audience is all about the holiday questions, and there's somebody sitting there with like a DM's guide being like, please tell me how to play the game.
Scrooges,
and we're
call
just
those.
Talking about having sex with Santa Claus.
There we go.
There we go.
Just for them. So I'll ask a very crunchy question then.
Okay.
A Wyan Murphy.
Wow.
Ooh.
How has Murph stepped up his encounter planning? It's always been amazing, but so far campaign... But so far,
campaign?
No.
Knock
it off.
Hey, diddle, diddle.
Cut this. Oh my God, another diddle.
Moving on.
Another diddle. Campaign 3 has been blowing my mind, and I've been stealing lots of it. So thank you. What inspiration has been there, and what process is there for planning them out?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I think that with campaign 3, I think that we're in a little bit of a position where we do have to keep like upping the ante, or at the very least, we've gotten to a point where we can't just do like, you guys fight 5 bullywugs and we just, you guys take your hits, they take their hits, and yeah. that's it.
Mm-hmm. First of all, Saul would be kind of like appalled if
correct.
He did that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, he does not want to have to hit another frog.
Right.
But yeah, I think that having like lots of movement and the battlefields changing and everything, and even the encounter in the first episode of the campaign was you guys like chasing those rat dudes and catching them on like the cart, like the at cable night car over zip the city. Line. Yeah, the cable car zipline.
Yeah.
So it's not even something as complicated as adding a ton of mechanics or something. It's just like making the battlefield interesting.
Yeah.
It's always more fun instead of just being like, I run 30 feet along the grass to the other guy in the middle of the field. It's always more fun to be like, you guys are on top of a building and this other guy's three roofs away. You got to do an acrobatics check to jump from one roof to the other to chase after him.
Right.
But then other than that, it's kind of a straightforward mechanics like under the hood.
Have there been any encounters that you feel particularly proud of?
Wow.
One that has not come out yet.
Ooh.
Okay.
A recorded one.
Okay.
I'm proud of that one too.
Spicy.
Yeah. Let's give that thing another roll.
I crit.
Oh!
I crit, so we can do campaign or the Hogladay.
You gotta do Hogladay.
You gotta do the Hogladay?
I think so.
Why don't we do one of each?
With the crit, it's one of each.
Yeah, I like that.
Cool. Joseph Mick D asks, how does Dice Christ prefer we celebrate Critmas?
Oh, you know, we
pickle
talk about
your dice, of course.
Yeah,
yeah.
Pickle your dice. Put them by the moonlight, pickled and fresh. Mm-hmm. Is there maybe some sort of like ritual where you like you leave your dice out for Dice Christ and like?
Oh, it's like leaving cookies out for
Santa. And then Dice Christ
You leave your ones out, and then Dice Christ comes along and turns 20. Them to 20.
That's cool. As long as they're freshly pickled.
Yeah.
And are there any gifts exchanged?
If you've been, that's how you find out if you've been a good PC,
right?
If Dice Christ comes and turns your ones to 20, because
if you've been bad, Dice Christ strangles you in your sleep.
Yeah.
We don't talk about how brutal the religion is often.
It's pretty intense.
Maybe I also like that maybe Dice Christ, like if you're very good, will leave you like a little homebrew item.
Oh,
oh, that's nice.
Cute. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cute. A cloak of invisibility. Yeah. You've just never been able to see it in your house.
Yeah. Some people say that Dice Christ is actually the DM, but like I believe you have to have a little dungeon magic. I think you have to believe in it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And I think that it's actually Dice Christ leaving those homebrew items for you.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What do you think you'd do instead of a stocking for Dice Christ?
It was a dice bag, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
It's really all one-to-one here.
Yeah. No, it's buttoned up to me.
Yeah. We figured it out. We solved it.
Okay.
You still leave out milk, though, for some reason.
Well, here's a campaign question called What Would Hugh Do? Another Hugh-based card.
What would Hugh do?
Casa D writes, how would Saul and Albie celebrate the holidays at Launchpad?
Oh.
Do you recall?
Wow.
That's fun. I think we like briefly mentioned some sort of like bullshit holiday called Feastmas or something
The Feastmas Ball or something like that.
Yeah. Where there's like an exchanging of food or something like that. So it's just like a glorified potluck.
Yeah, I think it would just be like as the world is falling apart around them, there's just a magical fake snow coming down on the university and everything is perfect and wonderful. And there's like a little holiday adventure.
Yeah, the gargoyles are singing a song that's like, everything is fine. Yeah. Everything is wonderful. Look at the snow. Uh-huh. Look at your friends.
Frog pal, we have to save Mothership.
I'll get my sweater. I think that, it's like, there is probably like a simulated adventure every year where they have to save Santa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like, at a certain point, you have to wonder like how just accident prone is this old man?
Yeah.
Right. Like they're saving him every year.
Yeah.
And I think it would be like high in propaganda. Yeah. Where it'd be like, thank God for this mothership technology. We never would have been able to save Santa.
Uh-huh. Thank God for these new AirPods.
All right, sweet. You want to give that thing another roll?
Oh, yeah.
It's back to me.
What would Hugh do?
What would Hugh do?
Chandler Tanner, 14.
All right, we're staying
back to the Hogladays.
With the Hogladays. These dice are incredible.
The hog has come home.
Sir Smut writes, if you could switch two holidays, what would they be?
Oh, switch to.
Oh, so you just have like Christmas in November and then put Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That would probably be the most innocuous one.
I don't, it would be, I guess.
But I do feel like Christmas or Thanksgiving is a nice like ramp towards Christmas.
And
like
a Halloween in the summer would be really fun.
Yeah.
Like almost like a, almost like, or like an early spring Halloween. So it's almost like an emergence, like rather than like, basically everyone's wearing costumes.
Easter and Halloween and seem like that would be solid.
The only problem is, the only note is that I do like it when it's like a little spooky and cold outside and the leaves are changing.
I agree.
However, I do remember being very mad as a kid when you'd be in like a cool costume and then it'd be like you have to wear a coat over it.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. It's too cold.
Emily's onto something with this kind of like Midsommar level festival where everyone's kind of dressed as like sprites and pixies and like it's sort of like an awakening ritual where like
exactly I think I'm inventing a new holiday rather than
I like that
or not inventing, I'm sure there's one that exists, but I'm suggesting a different holiday rather than just switching Halloween.
We should just do costumes in May too.
Why not? That's what I'm trying to say.
I think I could get into spring May 1st or summer.
Let's
Halloween,
all dress like fairies.
I think Labor Day and Memorial Day, because I get those two confused all the time anyway.
I'm gonna say a little controversial. I think that we should move Christmas to actually put it in July, because I think that like, or move Thanksgiving, because I think that,
I think
like,
I can move Thanksgiving.
The Thanksgiving Christmas like conjunction. Too much.
It's
They're too
much.
Close
yeah.
to each other.
I like
oh,
it.
I love
you
it.
You like it?
I love it. It's like the only time of the year that things actually slow down. Everything else is go.
Yeah.
I just think like, I think that you keep the same amount of break, but like there's no like Thanksgiving run up. There's no like Thanksgiving runway. You just have like a month of Christmas.
Some kind of Thanksgiving in the summer would also be good. Just like a huge feast in the middle of the summer.
Oh, like a barbecue?
Yeah.
I think Thanksgiving gets kind of swallowed up. In the December holidays.
Yeah, because you're think always deciding, when do I go home for them? I can't
Especially if you live far away from where you grew up. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, am I going to go home for... I'm going to go home on like November 25th and December 25th.
No. Yeah. Give me a week of hot dogs in the summer. Just like, instead of a turkey... You just somehow make one really big hot dog.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool. Because then I feel like that would change. That would change the Thanksgiving food, right?
It would have to. That's so good. Because like Thanksgiving food is food like root based.
Yeah,
for the most
I would
part.
Much prefer a fuck ton of hot dogs on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Hot dogs with like a circle of burgers around it.
I think we're describing 4th of July.
Yeah.
Yeah. There could be like a hot dog eating contest.
I love that for Thanksgiving. Firework.
It's just non-patriotic 4th of July.
Which is kind of what we need.
I think we're onto something here.
Everybody likes hot dogs.
The Feast of July, we call it.
We're thinking about eliminating Thanksgiving and sort of combining it with the 4th of July.
And taking out the patriotism and focusing on the food.
We should just be more of a hot dog-based holiday.
Yeah. Oh, and that's what we're celebrating.
What are we celebrating?
Spacious dogs. Exactly. I put them in my mouth.
Yeah. Oh, gorgeous.
There should be a lot more
caroling. I eat the dogs across the world from the north to the south.
Keep going.
I think the one stanza was all we needed. I think just the one stanza was the joke. Let's put a period.
Let's roll that dice, folks.
That one.
Oh. That means we had to talk about our stupid show.
Wow. Okay. Why don't
Do you got any Jake puns?
I have Jake's takes. I
like that.
Jake's takes, but I also have one called group investigation check.
Okay.
Oh, that's cute.
That's cute.
Should we do two since you're old in that one?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense.
Great.
Yeah.
So Yusuf Q asks me specifically, will Jake ever multi-class? Mm. Eldritch Knight with some barbarian rage would be amazing.
Oh.
And that just basically just gave me the idea to do that.
Yes.
I really need to roll with advantage.
You only roll with advantage for strength checks.
Wait, when you're raging?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind.
Oh, you can, if you take, I think you have to take two levels to do reckless attack.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want. Yeah. I really just need
to. Yeah, so you need two levels.
Okay. You are a tank as it is, as an Eldritch Knight, and then on top of that, to get barbarian stuff is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Really?
You can't cast spells as a barbarian, though, can you?
Oh, you can't cast spells while you're in a rage. Oh. That is kind of tough. Yeah. That's interesting that they would say that Eldritch Knight and Barbarian is...
I can see it, though, because if you just change which spells you use, right? Like, you change... you would only take spells that maybe you would use out of battle. You take spells that you... And it's like, it's easy enough. You get multiple rages. Yeah. You can come out of a rage, cast a spell, go back into a rage.
I like the style of it too, where like you kind of like have this intelligence to yourself and you can cast spells, but then like you cast that aside at certain points to just go all out.
It seems like it's character arc relevant too, just for like becoming bigger and stuff
and like Ultras getting to your head.
Yeah. So the answer to your question is I'll just do what you said.
Yes, right now.
You're changing your character sheet right now.
Yeah. Thanks for the idea.
Yeah, we're editing this into the episode as we speak.
Okay, and the other question that I'll ask about the campaign, Sigmund G. writes, if you had to pick one NPC to join the Blue Crew, Balnor style, who would it be and why?
Interesting. We kind of have had like a rotating cast.
Yeah, there hasn't been like one that fully...
Yeah, like Bumpy hung around for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Elzor is hanging around for a bit. Albin.
I did like Elzor, but I think maybe that's just because they had some really cool hooks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that like as like a dragon rider, I wouldn't want a character that could almost like kind of overshadow the party.
Mm-hmm. Right. Elzor is fucking powerful.
I think the nice thing about Albin was just to have like a spellcaster that was using enchanter stats, so he didn't have that many offensive things. It was literally like he could cast haste on people and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think my quick answer would probably be Albin.
Yeah. But would you level up Albin?
I guess. I think I'm not looking to one-to-one duplicate campaign one.
Yeah.
I think the only reason Balnor came around with you guys the whole time is because you drew the card. Mm-hmm. That you get a knight that comes around with you.
Yeah.
The stuff with like, you know, you guys
that wouldn't
had
normally
old
be
Cobb.
Your like instinct.
No, not at all. Right. Mm-hmm. Like you guys That's had old Cobb with you guys, that. Egwene with you guys, Erlin with you guys. Like there was always a rotating cast of people that were joining you guys.
Yeah, it also feels like every NPC that we meet has like such kind of like their distinct mission.
Yeah,
it's like, and Balnor just didn't.
Balnor
really,
was a blank slate.
Yeah, he came in with our thing.
Yeah, being pulled from a card means that Balnor can just kind of follow along without having his own need.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
So you think that it won't be Shroomrot?
It is Shroomrot, yeah.
Be awesome.
You guys are gonna get to just bring an adult deep dragon around.
Yeah, so I guess like the moral here is that we need to be like just constantly searching for like enchanted books and cards so we can like just pull a creature from
just
it.
Ask every NPC, are you Balnor?
Anything's possible.
Maybe he'll show up.
Right, it was also nice the space that Balnor occupied, because when you forgot to attack with him, it was just funny. You know, like it wasn't like oh no, this person who is intricately tied to this story didn't get to attack in their story. Like it was just like, ah ha ha, I forgot to attack with Balnor. Moving on, you know.
Yeah. It's like shit. He didn't do 8 damage. I'm really sorry.
But every once in a while, he would crit, which was so fun.
I know.
I think Balnor had like my favorite crits.
He did have some good. He was able to do a decent amount of damage by the end because he was a champion fighter. Mm-hmm. So I think by the end he was critting on like 18, 19, and 20.
That's awesome.
Yeah, God, so that seems nice.
Critted a decent amount.
All right, sweet. Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want, and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here. I'm recording this ad literally hours before going to the airport on a trip to visit some family in New York. And if you're wondering, no, I have not packed my bags yet. Packing stresses me the hell out because I have to do wardrobe math about how many shirts and pants and underwear to bring. And let me tell you, folks, I always get it wrong and I always pack too much. That being said, there is one thing that always goes into my suitcase without a second thought, and that is my Raycon Everyday Earbuds. Raycon offers amazing audio quality at half the price of other premium audio brands. And Raycon's optimized gel tips are designed to fit comfortably in your ears and actually stay there. Which is good because it means I can go on a jog and not worry about them falling out and getting sucked into a sewer grate. Although I guess that's probably how the Ninja Turtles get their earbuds, so If some mutant creature living in the sewer happens to get them, I guess that wouldn't be too bad. But thanks to Raycon, it's not something I ever even need to concern myself with. So, if you're also going on a trip soon and are looking to bring along the perfect pair of earbuds, go to buyraycon.com/pawpaw today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That is right, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's buyraycon.com/pawpaw. All right, thanks for listening and have a great trip. Bye-bye.
Want to give it a roll?
Shall we roll? 13.
Oh, it's the Hogglies, baby.
We're back in the Hogglies.
I couldn't tell if they had left a word out, but I think this is really funny. Daniel B. writes, what are each of the Trinivale triplets' Christmas stockings? So not in, just what are the...
okay, what are I love each of this. The Trinivale?
What are and, if you, they? And by the way, if this is the question as you intended, I think it's brilliant.
Mm. I think mine is, Jen's is like a very fancy boot. And he is large. Furious if anything is in it. I think he just happens to hang his boots near the fire. Place so that they're toasty, and then he freaks out and attacks Santa Claus if he tries to put like candy canes in it.
Onyx has like a fishnet made of lace. Fishnet stocking made of lace.
That's
and
good.
She's really confused why nothing's ever in there. Because if you try to put anything in, it falls
in
out.
The fire.
And yeah, Santa puts loose M&Ms in there.
Yeah, we're just burning coal directly into our house.
We don't know how to open the flue.
Is anyone else getting lightheaded?
The landlord never showed us how to open the flue. Nyack never wore shoes or socks.
Mm. Yeah.
It was always barefoot. So maybe one of Jen's gloves.
Oh, I would love to see just a candy cane in each finger of the glove.
Also, yeah, Jens wakes up first, finds his glove full of presents for Nyack, and just throws them out.
So that in
he
the
can
fire.
Put the glove on, yeah.
I feel like Keychain like doesn't understand like shoes in general or holidays. So I feel like his would be probably like a salad spinner or something like that. Just like something like he found in the kitchen and like put in
right,
like, the heart.
Right, just to fit in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we wouldn't correct him.
Yeah. We wouldn't even notice.
Be like, who are you?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to roll.
16.
You're back again.
Amazing. Pate S. writes, oh, warm hearth ciders, what is your preferred method of eating a candy cane? And Murph, what stats would you give to one sucked into a fierce spike?
Ooh. Wow. Okay.
Okay. Ooh. How do we suck a candy cane? I got to be honest, I go hook in mouth. Right.
Hook like
ouch,
fish style?
That hurts yeah. The bottom of my mouth.
I fish hook myself.
Whoa. That's
with the candy cane. I just go nuts.
Right. Uh-huh. You dangle it from the ceiling and yeah. Hook into it.
I think you have to go hook in mouth because you got to deal with it eventually.
I go butt first.
Yeah. Butt first. You I'm hold not, the hook.
I'm an yeah. ass first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to shiv it. I like to get that like nice point going and I point it all the way until I've got like the U shape and then I put it in my mouth like a mouth guard.
Mm. Mm. Oh, that's how I deal with the hook. I have done that before.
Yeah. That feels good.
I don't think I don't usually finish a candy cane.
I don't think I do either. Wait, I think it's what? Just so sweet. It's
too much sweetness.
Yeah.
But it's just
yeah, but like
you
already
started it.
Yeah, and I'll
you're
just
gonna throw it away. It's like minty.
It's nice.
It's yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's like so
too much.
Much. Yeah, so
what do you mean too much.
Give me a peppermint.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Give that's me something really small need. That I can handle.
Yeah, the mini candy canes, that's something.
I'm gonna give you
yeah, mini candy cane, that's where it's at.
Yeah. I'm gonna give you some Ziploc bags for the Christmas so that you can just like mail your leftover candy canes to me.
I kinda want a candy cane.
I actually have Ziploc bags in my house already.
You get those like red and green candy canes.
Oh, those are good.
I don't go in for those.
Really?
I need a traditional.
What's your problem, dude?
I'm sorry. I follow the letter of the
edit
law.
Edit this out.
It's just like the Hogglies at home. The family descends into an argument over something petty.
You know what I love? It does nothing for the taste, but I love a candy cane tube full of M&Ms.
Oh, me too. The best candy cane is
so
fucking
fun.
M&Ms.
I'm
oh,
so
fun.
Obsessed with M&Ms. Because
they're good.
Because I also do love that.
They're so they're good. So good. They're truly so good.
When they make them red and green, oh, that's the best.
Yeah. And then how would I stat a candy cane out? Mm-hmm. I would give it dagger stats, so it'd be a D4, but it shatters after you use it once.
Whoa. Oh, gorgeous.
Is there shatter damage?
No.
Shards?
Just, oh, we could do like an ice knife. It doesn't have like an
ice knife thing?
We could do ice knife, yeah. Okay.
That's cool.
So everybody else within 5 feet takes 1d4.
I think Calder might give up his sword for that.
Yeah.
The candy cane wielding barbarian.
Oh my God. Imagine how sad. Calder, do you want to tell everyone about your new weapon?
Calder takes out giant candy cane.
Huh?
Yeah. It looks like the barber shop.
Why are you fighting with a hooked in?
It's January 16th, man. All right. Why don't we go ahead and roll that bad boy again?
Here it comes. That's an 8.
Oh, we got an campaign 8. 3.
We're
back
the
into the campaign. Okay. Mark K writes, what is the most surprising thing each character has evolved into? Same question for Murph, but with NPCs.
Oh, interesting.
Is there anything that your characters have evolved into that you weren't?
I think it's very cool with Callie that we've kind of naturally found a way to kind of shift your paladin god from sort of the arcane smite to the serpentine smite has been very cool.
Yeah.
To kind of find that as you go. Because a lot of people, you know, when you start out playing a paladin, it's just like, I'm a paladin of this god. This is how it is. And I thought it was very cool with Callie that it was like statted out like, oh, here she is a synth eldritch knight. And then that transfers, like you guys lose that power. And then she dedicates herself to something new. Mm-hmm.
I never planned on taking a third level of paladin. It was only when Mothership was so bad that I was like, okay, if I'm going to keep these smites around, I need to pledge myself to someone else.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I feel like Murph did a lot of the legwork for Saul, which was like giving him like this kind of like background in Moonstone was really good. I feel like for Saul, I always thought of him as like a frog in an actual aquarium that was like the big dome of Mothership. And then like breaking out of that and trying to like find his swamp more or less.
Yeah.
And now like knowing that there's this like Moonstone connection has been big for him. And like the way he's kind of like styled his like fighting to be a little more like physical and less like, you know, these magical gauntlets has been fun. But I think the real answer is like learning that Saul is a hot frog. It was early on, but
I dropped that. We don't make that joke anymore.
But it's true. You don't have to make the joke. It's still true.
Yeah.
It's hot to me.
He's still hot to me, damn it.
I guess when I was thinking about Calder, I was sort of imagining him having something to prove, which he still does. But I didn't imagine him having like the I'll pledge myself to anybody, like the kind of the little brother energy that he does still have.
Yeah.
was not really part of like my character creation, but I think that's just like where he what happened when we started role playing.
Yeah, Ultras too. You've basically just got like a bully in your helm.
Yeah. Calder's like a little bit beta and I'm into it.
Yeah.
Oh, the alter egos thing is something that's been fun. And that's been like for all of the characters. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I feel like Saul is like glommed onto it especially.
Yeah.
Swag Daniels, Dag Swangles, Maeve Haypenny.
Yeah. I think when I originally started, I thought that because it starts with like Calliope as like a little who am I journal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think I thought that was going to come into play and that was like going to be how she developed. And every time I thought to write in it, it just felt so small and unimportant. So I feel like the revelation that what she actually needed for self-esteem was to commit herself to something rather than think about herself was like an interesting, because I didn't think it would go like that. But then as I was playing, it always felt just writing in her who am I journal didn't feel
like pontificating about who you are.
It didn't feel like it was what she needed.
Yeah. And
then like deciding like, oh, actually self-esteem kind of can come from having something you're working for, like almost like being a verb rather than a noun.
Yeah.
Like
purpose.
I think you found a much more like meaningful version of that with the star chart.
Yeah.
Which is like, I was just thinking about the fact that like you made that like star chart initially after like Mothership fell.
Yeah.
And then that like just tied in beautifully to like becoming like a like star serpent paladin later on. So like, I think that that's the better version of the journal.
Kelly also has sat down and like made art a few times, right?
Yeah.
Like just kind of like taking in what's around you rather than being like going inside too.
Yeah.
I also secretly, originally when we started, I thought she would like kind of become a musician.
Oh,
because I was like, I write the music for the show. She's a bard. Like, yeah, she could develop in that direction. But it just, like, role play wise, never really made any sense. And I was like, I think she's more of like an aesthetic experiencer, you know, like more like an aesthetic bard than like, here's my trade and I do it.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah.
I do miss the bird pipes, though. You should bring those back.
I think part of it is we turned the bird pipes into Counting Crows jokes. But I think, like, I was like also open to like if she like wanted to explore poetry or something. But again, it was like it just didn't feel like what she needed.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
it's like you have so many ideas going in, and then most of them get thrown away.
I think that's the fun part about it, though. Is like I'll be driving over here, and I'll be like, "This is what Saul's gonna say this episode."
Yeah.
and then he'll call himself Swag Daniels, and that's just
and that's just where we're going.
You didn't come up with that on the way over.
Damn. Really shoehorned it in.
That's on the spot.
Also, I would have never expected that, because I feel like both Calliope and Calder have like sibling like issues with their siblings. So it feels fun. Like we've kind of fallen into this like childish sibling energy, and it feels kind of fun because it's like, oh, we both kind of want a sibling interaction because we have shit with our siblings,
right? You know? That's true. And that's also like how we learn to express love for each other too.
It's just like bickering with siblings.
Right, sometimes you just like do stuff to tease, like turning into me. Going on.
I feel like also we always like fight over stuff. Yeah.
I want that.
Yeah.
Kelly, no. Wait.
I like complaining in Calder's voice. She's like whining in a fucking gruffly badass.
Calder does say wait a lot.
Wait. No. No fair.
Just a huge child.
Whiny Batman.
Yeah, whiny Batman.
You guys want to do one more question? I think we're back around to Jake.
That's a hogliday.
Land
on the hogliday.
A little
hogliday treat.
Caitlin K asks, which of Santa's reindeer would each of you be, and why would Caldwell be Rudolph?
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you. I believe this for myself.
Why would Caldwell be Rudolph? I think because he would want it the most.
I'll give you guys a list.
I think I can say off my head.
Off the dome.
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donder, Blitzen, and Rudolph. Are there 9 of them?
There are 9. You got it.
Yeah.
You said Donder.
Is it not Donder?
You diddled when you said Donder.
Wait, what is it?
It's Donner. Donner.
And that's actually who
Donner
I would be.
Party?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like the Donner Party, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, they'd never name a reindeer after the Donner Party. No.
They didn't. Was it Donner that was Rudolph's dad that was super mean to him?
He's very mean.
In the movie. Oh.
I just watched it. He's fucking mean.
He's so mean.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Santa's mean too. Santa's like, that won't do.
What's with that weird little kid?
What are their personalities like?
Well, I feel like Dasher is fast. Dasher's go get him. Yeah.
Okay. Where are you basing this on?
I'm basing it on
this little cartoon that I have where Dasher is wearing goggles.
That's not canonical. Okay. Yeah. That's not canonical.
Totally. You have to admit that Dasher is the fast reindeer.
I don't.
Is named first.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think Rudolph's got the best stats. Prancer, I think Rudolph's a freaking
hero. Rudolph has garbage stats. He has zero appearances except for one fucking Christmas.
Well, I mean.
Wait, you're right.
He stuck around.
Let's talk about this for a second.
Okay.
Is Rudolph not canonical?
Whoa.
Was Rudolph just in the song?
You're right. I mean, there's nothing.
Is Rudolph fan fiction?
Did you not know this? Rudolph was like invented in the 50s.
I'm only 37. I don't know.
Yeah, you remember the
50s? In the 50s? You remember 30 years before you were born?
I feel like this is one of those. This seems like a Murph fact.
Honestly,
like kind of a weird, depressing thing.
Save this for the short rest because we probably have to go deep.
We have to go deep. Like, where does the if you were to read, if you were like, I want original Santa stuff. Where do
none
you
of
go
Rudolph from? None of this fan Rudolph fiction bullshit. Garbage.
I guess you got to go to like the Northern European folklore, where it's just like some sort of like old man who like wears a big robe.
Does he have the? So I know that Santa, that you can find stories about Santa without Rudolph.
Uh-huh.
But can you find stories of Santa being like on Blitzen, but definitely not on Rudolph.
Oh, okay. No, this is what I thought, which is not really fair because I didn't say it before I looked it up, so I can't really take credit. But
right, yeah. We don't believe you.
Okay, the 1823 poem by Clement C. Moore, A Visit from St. Nicholas, also known as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, which you guys know.
Oh.
And that is from 1823. It's a poem. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they flew, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Dunder and Blixem.
No!
Wait,
no
does cap. It really say
on Dunder and Blixem.
So I'm right then. I said Dunder.
You're
closer than all of us.
Oh my God.
We have dundered and diddled this day.
We really have.
Oh my God.
So there is no Rudolph in
there. Oh yeah,
it looks like Moore altered the names of the last two reindeer several times in an early 1860s version of the poem written as a gift to a friend. They are named Donder and Blitzen. Literally Donder.
They kept Donder.
Woo! Yeah. What a Donder redemption for Emily Axford.
That's wild.
That's what a thoughtful but weird gift.
I wrote a poem for you.
But it's also, I rewrote my old poem from 1823 for you, and I changed the reindeer's name to Donder.
I definitely have friends who would do something like that, and I would definitely be like, whoa.
Also, it's crazy that Rudolph comes like to me, Rudolph's ancient history, because it's in the 50s, so what would I know? But it's just like, these other reindeer were hanging out for like 130 years beforehand.
Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued by Blitzen. I'm intrigued by Comet. Uh-huh. Like, I have curiosity. Could I have that energy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like if Caldwell's Rudolph, Jake is Donder/Dunder.
I do have a lot of personality.
He wants to be Dasher.
I'm Dasher. Describing Dasher's personality. I don't know if I am actually the
You
fastest.
Want to deliver people food.
I think I'm probably Comet.
I was thinking about Comet seems but cool. I think Blitzen. Okay, so if you want Comet, I'll go Blitzen.
Okay, I'm gonna take Donner because that's the mean dad.
Yeah. Checks out. You're my mean dad.
I'm Caldwell's mean dad.
Donner, Dunder, Donder.
With that, we're gonna go ahead and wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening.
Yeah.
You can head on over to our Patreon to listen to more Hearthside questions for more Hogliday spirit. Ooh, for more Hogliday questions, where we'll talk about reindeer lore,
but also probably more deep. Campaign 3.
Yeah, perhaps.
Why not?
Maybe
we shall see. You can head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NEDDPOD. Do not sing yet. Don't do it.
My bad.
Do it. I don't want to hear any singing. Not about Rudolph, that fan fiction invention. Okay.
Oh wow, you sound like Donner right
now. Newfangled. That newfangled reindeer.
Classic Dunder energy.
Classic freaking Dunder.
Does Blitzen like have a talent?
I mean, Blitzen implies he's fast as well.
Is it? Well,
I want him to be the strongest and kick the hardest.
Who is in the which reindeer canonically kicks the hardest? Which reindeer? Because Donner. So who are Rudolph's parents in the movie?
It's Donner.
Donner and Blitzen?
No. What's I don't believe so. I don't know if the mom is named.
Is the mom just, it was just like, we're sexist. She's just some random ass reindeer.
It was the 60s.
Can't possibly be
female
one
female reindeer can't pull the sleigh.
No, I have the answer. It's Mrs. Donner.
Is it really?
According to Wikipedia, yeah.
She doesn't have a name. She's just Mrs. Donner.
When is Donner's birthday?
I'm going to guess December 13th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got to be.
Because I think that Rudolph is born like a little before Christmas, if I recall. Because I consider the Rankin Bass like the be-all, end-all canonical approach to the reindeer lore.
So what's Blitzen like in that? Can he kick hard?
Yeah, he kills a hunter.
Yeah. He breaks Santa's ribs one time.
Oh.
Yeah, that's me.
That's a valuable skill because, like, you know, Santa is a home intruder. Yeah. He might need some defense.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like we're getting back into it, and we should be saving this for the short.
Yeah,
we're
because there are actually because there's another story with 10, and then it talks about Rudolph. So
anyone have anything they'd like to plug?
I would love to plug our PO box. It's been
gotten gifts. We have gotten gifts as well.
It is the gifting season. I want to give a shout out to all these little hogs that gave us beautiful gifts. 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California 90027 is where you can send stuff. We got from Kaylee H from Bees in the Burbs some more honey.
Ooh, thank you.
And a hat that I am currently wearing right
now. She's rocking it.
I love it. I'm obsessed with your honey. I'm obsessed with your hats now. I was looking at your website. You guys have little carved wax candles. Whoa. I love Bees in the Burbs.
Bees in the Burbs.
Official, unofficial honey of NADPOLS.
You can say official.
Well, the paperwork hasn't been signed yet. But yes, we're getting there. So thank you very much, Kaylee. Andrew G. sent us a ton of beautifully painted minifigures. Thank you so much, Andrew. Our next home game is going to absolutely rip. Fun point about these minis, they were all sent in Pop-Tarts boxes.
Oh,
so, smart. Yeah, it was very smart. Yeah. I did get excited thinking that someone had sent
us
Pop-Tarts,
thinking you were just going to eat a bunch of Pop-Tarts?
Yeah, because I'm not going to buy Pop-Tarts for myself, but if somebody sends me like s'more-flavored Pop-Tarts, mm-hmm. I'm going to eat them.
Got to be honest, good. I don't love a Pop-Tart. Go on.
Well, you can just have your red and green candy cane, and I'll have my Pop-Tarts.
Do you guys remember
edit this out.
Toaster strudels?
Oh, love a toaster like strudel. Yeah. Strudel. Those are fun because you get to do a little like creative icing.
Man, I would eat as many as I could sneak.
Sneak? What? Did you like go downstairs in the middle of the night?
No, like throughout the day.
You'd have, wouldn't you get sick?
Of sneaking around, yeah.
Emily, did you live in a giant's house and you had to sneak out from behind the walls and steal a bunch?
Oh, good Lord. Save it for the short rest.
All right. Johnny and Sav sent Emily a pair of rubber ducky earrings. Murph, what's that? Do those boost?
Those are going to give you, that makes Callie completely immune to bludgeoning damage.
Wow.
Whoa. Really? Yeah. Oh. Fuck yes. Yeah.
They're That's very painful huge. To put on, though.
Yeah.
Wow. That's huge.
Adrian, aka at Wild Magic Bags, sent us some big plush D20s, including.
Oh, they're really cool.
They're really fun. They sent a small one for my daughter Sydney, which is very fun. She's started showing an interest in my dice now. I Aww. Had to give her one the other day, and she calls it a number ball. Mike C, aka Paddington 2 Superfan, sent us a ton of toilet paper, which I think was inspired by a bit on Turtle Tank.
As we said that you should start bringing toilet paper to parties.
Yes, that's
to replenish the.
Thank you that's really so nice. Much. That's a really nice gift.
Yeah, we will think about you when we shit. So thank you very much.
Or as Mima calls them, notebooks.
Yeah,
notebooks. That really made me laugh.
Forgot about that. That's good. That's good, Murph. Kevin W. sent us a wood-burned cutting board. It has our logo on it, but instead of podcast, it reads, not another recipe.
Wow. Yeah. That's sometimes how I feel when I'm cooking.
Not another recipe. Because you're just chopping up like a big slab of beef.
Yeah.
Let's see. Josh R. sent us Donkey Kong and Sonic themed dice bags.
Really honestly, nice.
Snatching up those Donkey Kong ones.
Really nice, really quality. Perfect for the Hogladays. So thank you very much, Josh R.
Much appreciated.
Thanks to everyone that sent us all of these wonderful items. We really appreciate it. That is all from me.
Sweet. Check out our live shows. We've got a bunch coming up. Nadpod.com/live. Still got tickets left for our Boston live show. We added a second night. It's going to be D&D court. It's going to be loose. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a good time.
Wow. It's going to be as loose as the Rainforest Cafe.
So loose. In Death Valley. Loose. Yeah.
Can you believe it? And with that, we're going to wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use. At chmercme, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Axford's Emily, and at J. Gertz's Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation.
Happy Hogladays.
Happy Hogladays.
It's the end of the Hogladay show, and you know what that means. It's time to shout out our beautiful, benevolent, Hogladay-infused council of elders, starting with Brad D., Jeffrey S., Hugh C., Later Mixgator, Matt M., Jordan DJ, Cutter W., Liv A., Daniel G., The J-Pod, Dylan B., the silent crit justice who secretly thinks the bailiff is a cool guy, Dungeon Mama, not sexual, Danielle the dastardly dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P, Vincent W, DMC Dog, Victor T, Balnor's Boy, Dominic P, Justin I, Ragnar Ferdwin, TJM, Trele the Crayfay, Christopher B, Daniel R, Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Leopold from Wisconsin, wishing everyone a happy Hedgehogladays, Richard Ex Machina, Michael L, Jack L, Sam L, Nicholas C, who has starred in every single film ever made in Bohemia. Tickets bought, can't wait to see y'all down under in Perth. We can't wait to see you either. Sam B, Mike H, Matthew E, Great Value Gemma, Adam G, Tyler F, Panama James, Andrew the Bard. Nope, sorry, just Andrew the Druid here. Haradrian, Rex Thandiel the White, Captain Sigil, Diana De Los Lopez, Cece Lulu, Hercule Poirot, the Hobbit Folk Detective, Timmy R, Lucas B, Reiko, It's Kevin, Calder's Cold Come, hashtag rise my comrades, spread the camaraderie, Taylor B, the One-Winged Angel, Cass, Skateboard Cass, Captain of the Stephen Cole, Michael M, Mike K, Lady Taco, Brian G, Joy T, Nara, Jake L, Nick W, Brave the Badger, Esme M, Agnity, who sang One Big Bed in Savannah. Oh my gosh, thank you for being there. Wasn't that so fun? Foster, the Boneless Duck, thanking the two crew for coming down under. Well, thank you for having us. William W, Aaron, the Asshole Ranger, Big Bad Beard of the Mad, Eric McD, Ananorama, Glad Roselle, the White Rose of Galateron. Power Surge of Bohemia, hide your robot butlers, hide your hot plates. Christian A, J Dragonborn, Joro the Inapropro, The Sandrean, Ben A, Feldonis, John the Third, Dave H, Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Dustin S, Connor F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookfar's assistant Izzy F, Marky Mark the Marvelous Mining Engineer, Cat C, Kelsey J, Misa of House and Zunza, Ariel the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N, Velaciraptor, B, Perky Always, Pat L, Achutha A, Lauren H, Ryan S, The Bone Duster, The Charming Floof, Robert Crisp, Telekitty Creations, Fan Illustrator, I'm going to say, I'll request Foster as an adorable little tree topper for all those who celebrate. Carly A, Suicidal Lobster, Addie K, AP Cleric, Spam Gaming, who's just a raccoon that has a gun. Okay. JC, Connor S, Russell H, Christopher J, Pebblepot, to the do riders of my first D&D party, may all our adventures be wondrous. Thank you for being my friends. Oh, putting me in the Hogliday mood. Salil, Leviathan, BioQuart 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H, Trub Hopdropper, Sydney T, Jack H, Crapster Champion of Crod, Scuttling Sideways Toward Tomorrow, Fanderay, Garble the Moist, Lindsay W, Juicy Kiwi, Ready for Boston and Boston Part 2, The Electric Boogaloo, Valen, Beep the Druid Barbarian, Carlin C, Emily S, Harry Cox, Noah the Bagel of all things, Everything Bago, the Aladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger Stripey, Dandy, Marcos P, Jordan P, the Occasional Crit Reporter, Learns the Balance Druid, Dayton M, Dakota James P, Frida M, Pagos, Betrothed, Self-Proclaimed Fae Prince, Andy E, Holly Hyena, Kristen Z, the I Will Use What You Love Against You DM, Leah C, Paige H, Helen of Praise, May B, Pixel Stars, Akash Thakar, Timothy H, Kristen with a K, Cal, just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, Neos, the novice monster hunter, and Simon, I think I feel like he needed us to meet him in a dream, but where, do you know? Patrick, Lorelei, the succubus of Kira and her busty queen. Michael, the Esri pop idol. Morgan M., appealing sticker. Stephen E., happy birthday to my one-of-a-kind husband, Andrew L. I found my tall Barney. Love your wife, Sid. Oh, I love it. John Adams, yes, like the president. Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia. James F., Captain Cappy, M4L, Wayfarer, now trapped in the Feywild after not fully reading the terms and conditions of their legal settlement with Mothership. Andrew B., Sir Smut, Copefresh, Barpo, Good Barrel, Barbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep. Mary Beth C., Melora Devotee, Pendergreen's Bodyguard, Codpiece, Welshlander, Garrett G., One Big Curd, Mr. D., Dana Daisy, Sean J., Mr. Sillyhead, Ethan B., Renee the Monster Captain, Hop the Dancing Rabbit, Hope Stagger, the only dagger of hope, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, who will totally be making money and a grand novel off of the Duck Team's Tales with an on-the-go, all-the-stop show, Winter Slade, Michaela R., Riley S., Fico, Angry Wheat, the game itself just trying to find himself, Tony G., Corbo's Calamitous Cumshot, hashtag CCC forever, sorry Jake, Josh H., Jack the Jack's Jinxing Rogue on the run with Bohemia's Balls, Mango Empanadas, Rented Mules, he who made Doug Divergent, Dark Nut, James B., Trogdor the Burninator, Clementine T., Caleb L., this message has been brought to you by fairies in support of hashtag CCC, Alex R., Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie-wearing barbarian with a bat back, Papa Wookie, MJ., the BFG drinking tea by the sea, Samantha K., Calvius Silverfang, Gino T., Mama Bell, the Silver Serpent herself, Sheldon, the Mushroom Turtle, Strawman, 18 Wheels of Rubber and Steel, Potato Master, Dr. Tulkus, Tis the Great, Derek Davidson, Tristan G., and Cal's Corporate Corruption, hashtag CCC for life. That's it. I'm wishing you all the most blessed, most festive Hogladays. Mwah, mwah. Goodbye, sweeties.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.